This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. You're listening to the best of Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
It's Lizzie Cundy.
And Stephen Leng at Access All Areas. And thank you very much for listening for the last however long we've been doing this for.
Well, it's been such fun. And we've got the best bits just for you.
Of 2016. And there's plenty of them.
Oh, my goodness. We've had some laughs.
Yeah, I mean, too many to mention.
Well, I think we should listen to them, don't you?
I think we should. Yay!
Happy Christmas. All. Happy Christmas.
You're listening to the best of Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
In the house.
And we were getting some singing.
To us.
It was lovely.
It.
What sing? Who did?
Who are you talking about?
I love it.
You sounded great.
Your voice is incredible.
I've got no headphones.
You can hear what's going on. How are you guys? What's going on?
We're good, man. Good.
What do you do?
It's exciting. How is it going, Ralph Cobby? Because let's be honest, you did so well on The X Factor. Was that 2014? Yep.
2013.
Wow. You made it right the way through the show as well, though.
You made it through.
A week away from the finals, you know.
And then we got kicked off.
That bitch.
Mrs. O.
I was going to say it, but I'm glad you did.
She loves you guys. You know she loves you. You're too adorable. But Gary was your mentor, right?
Uncle Gaz.
And what was Gary Barlow like? Because obviously, we know a bit of Gary, but what's the real Gary like?
The real Gary is so fun. He's so fun. It was just like we had a fourth member. It was literally like we had a fourth member. Because I think the group category, two of the groups went quite early. So we had Gary a lot to ourselves.
Yeah. So that always happens on X Factor,
yeah,
isn't it? The groups are a bit of it's a tough one. The old groups.
So we had Gary a lot of the time. He had a lot of free time. So he just chilled with us all the time. And we just... It was really fun. It was really good to like get to know him because obviously I've grown up listening to like Take That and you know what I mean, Relight My Fire. My sister had the posters and everything. So it's really weird like having him in the flesh and like kind of feeling his personality.
So
was genuine. Was a good mentor, Gary. Because, there was a bit of stick whether him and Simon Cowell got on, and there was all of that in the press, as you know.
Yeah, definitely. We did hear about that, but...
They
never really mentioned it to us or anything like that. We was kind of... Unless we read it in a paper, we was kind of excluded from it.
Oh, bless but, you. You're such lovely boys. So you were glad you did X Factor. I mean, because it is a scary time, isn't it? Going up there with the live audience, live shows.
Definitely. I was well excited. You know what it is? It was watching it on TV, like, you kind of... Imagine it's a lot easier than it comes across. You think, oh, you just go on there, sing on stage. You know what I mean? Go to the next stage. You know, if you get through, go to the lives, have a good time. But it was so hard. And I think, Kaz had a lot of, what did you call it, Kaz?
Industry boot camp.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, what's involved in an industry boot camp?
Everything, man.
Blood, sweat, and tears, man.
What's it like? Is it tears? Shouting?
You know what it is? Like Joe said, it's underrated. You think, oh, no. Because what it is, when I used to watch it, and you see people coming on at the audition, and they haven't even started singing, but they're crying, thinking, man up. What are you crying for? No, when you're in there, you realise that when you're backstage, that's where the real work begins. You've got to do the interviews, you've got to rehearse, you've got to make sure your voice is pitch perfect, but you're tired because you haven't slept, because you're practising.
Oh, that's what Will Young said.
It's literally everything wrapped into that 1 week.
And every time the week's done, you're straight back into the next week.
It's like a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah, literally.
Definitely. And I think that was the hardest. That was the hardest part. I think it was because when the weekend's done, you're celebrating. You're like, oh yeah, we got through and all that kind of stuff. And then next thing you know, Monday morning comes and you're like, right guys,
what was the room? B10.
What was it?
B10.
B10
with Gavin.
What are you called?
On the Sundays in the room.
Yeah, Gavin. Yeah.
What are you called to B10?
But if you're called to B10, you know what it is. Ensemble.
Group
ensemble.
You know what it is, yeah? You know the group ensemble?
Yeah.
I used to love that. The group ensemble was the time you let loose.
Was
the time you shaked your leg and you were just like, if I get the words wrong, I get them wrong.
But I always thought it was a pre-record, wasn't it?
It was live.
Could you muck around a little bit? You could do your own thing.
Well, we did. I had a little... Rough Copy X Factor marathon the other morning, and I was watching everything, and I was like, oh my days, we were crazy, weren't we? You know, yeah, what I mean? And there's some of those crazy outfits. I think we were wearing gold at one point.
Yeah, you had a crazy outfit. I remember that.
Did you mind all of that stuff, like dressing up and all that kind of?
Involved in everything we wore. Like, I think at one point I wore like two different shoes. I had my trousers rolled up. I wore one glove. I thought I was MJ. I didn't care. That was what we had to sing.
But you've got to throw yourself into these things, right? Yeah. Like, so you've got to take those opportunities.
Because you got the choreography as well. You had Brian Friedman.
No, we had him. It wasn't Brian Friedman.
We had Cisco.
It was Cisco.
Oh yeah. And so what? How was it doing all the dance moves with the music? Yeah.
You know what it is? Like, we have a natural energy about us. So for us to be on stage and sing, we want to move as well. But
I seem to remember a lot of bouncing up and down.
Yeah, we was. But you know, one thing they did with one thing they did with us, and they made sure with us, is that they didn't give us too much hard choreography. It was more vibes and fun and energy. Mm. Hence the reason why we're bouncing up and down. Because I don't think they wanted to take away the essence of our vocal. Because a lot of people said that, you know, they loved us, what we sound and our harmonies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they wanted to complicate too much stuff. But yeah, we loved it, man. We loved shaking a leg and, you know what I mean, getting busy.
You were
busy.
So entertaining.
And what's been happening since? You were signed up for a bit, weren't you? And what happened with that? And then where are you now? What's going down?
Yeah, so we came out the show. Fortunately enough, we was able to be signed to Epic Sony. Released our first single, Street Love, which did pretty good in the R&B charts. I think it was top 20 in the R&B charts. Mm-hmm. Didn't do so well in the normal charts, but hey, it's all down to we ain't taking no blame for that one, are we?
No,
are we?
We're not taking no blame.
Is there someone you should blame?
Oh, gloves off, mate, gloves off, right?
No, let's not do it.
Can I
put this out there? Because a lot of the guests, we've had a lot of X Factor contestants on this show, and they sometimes feel that after the show, they're not really looked after as well.
It's
and how
a
was it
cycle.
With you? I know the music industry is probably one of the hardest industries you could be into, but how was it for you guys?
Well, let's just say, thank God for our manager, eh? kept us safe, looked after.
Really?
It is what it is. I mean, we're a group in the UK trying to do this R&B thing and carry the torch. So, end of the day, it is going to be difficult regardless. And we made a conscious decision. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to stick to. And, you know, we could have went the other way and probably be number one all year round now, isn't it?
But there's nothing worse than doing something that you don't really love.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You might not do it.
Well, that's why Zayn quit One Direction in the end, wasn't it? Like, you know,
and then look at him now.
You can tell the kind of music he makes now.
Well, his album didn't sell, so, you know.
There you go.
It didn't.
Shots fired.
So who else was? Who else was? It was Sam Bailey that won your year, right? Yeah.
She's a good buddy of mine, Sam. I saw her at Thorpe Park.
No, we didn't go to that frat night.
Oh, it was great.
Oh,
no, we was at
Tully's
Farm.
Oh God, isn't that supposed to be really terrible?
That was let me get on a snap. Right, say I'm live on Fuba Radio and I'm fuming because it was scary.
I was screaming.
I lost my next day. I had no voice. That's how much I was screaming.
They chase you around with like pitchforks and
ducking. It was ridiculous.
There was one ride where you go on a tractor and you sit on it and it takes you like through kind of the forest and everything. And there was all sorts of madness, man. It was like, you know when you get the little girl in white, all in white, and she's there and her head's hanging, and it was like, I was screaming.
And they got on the ride.
They got on and then
they grab you. And you think someone, at one point I thought it was Kaz grabbing me. I was like, Kaz, get off me, man. I'm scared, man. Get off. I turn and it's like some girl was, I was like, oh my
a
God.
Child.
Like, yeah, nah.
A dead child.
No, that's
dead
not child.
No, it was horrible.
So,
so
you weren't in front of it. But so you were with Sam Bailey on your year. So who else? It was Nicholas.
Nicholas, Luke. Friend, Tamara Foster, Hannah Barrett.
Do you see any of those guys anymore?
Oh,
Hannah Barrett.
That's
like a little sister.
How have you stayed in touch?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, when we first came out, the first 2 years we was kind of doing the circuit together, like Nicholas, Luke, we saw them a lot, Hannah, Tamara, so Sam Callahan we saw quite a lot.
Oh, he was in here a couple of weeks ago.
We see a lot of people.
You had a good bunch, actually.
Yeah, that was, you know what it is? That was
a
series
good year.
10.
Yeah, it
that was the anniversary
was.
Year.
But were you gutted when Sam won? Were you like, bitch.
Nah, we didn't. To be fair, I'm not gonna lie. To even get as far as we did, it was kind of like
amazing.
It was a humbling experience.
But a lot of people kind of declared who the winner was gonna be from early. Like we all
you
knew.
See it anyway.
We kind of all knew that it was gonna be Sam Bailey and then like Nicholas second because I mean Nicholas kind of had the whole of Scotland.
Yeah.
And Sam Bailey kind of had the whole of the UK pretty much. Heart throbbing.
He was a cute little thing, wasn't he? But so young.
He's crazy backstage though. That's the side that we want everyone to see.
Yeah, the side that you know the crazy stuff we did.
Yeah.
Like he was worse than us. He was crazier than us, but you never saw it. Yeah, he was in our room all the time, taking our clothes.
God, I saw him in
pranks.
The bar, and he was with his mum and dad. He was like a choir boy. Hello.
No. See, that was the trick.
That's that media training, y'all. Yeah,
that's that media training right there.
He was good. Oh, we need to do backstage.
Yeah, definitely.
What really goes on?
BTS behind the scenes.
So yes. What do you make of it this year? Have you seen any of it?
I've kept in touch with it. I'm sure. As Joe, have you, Joe? Let's not start. Never mind that question.
Not so
much.
Well,
who do you like this year?
This year, me personally, I'm not gonna be biased. Yeah, because at the end of the day, there is a curse of the groups.
Oh yeah.
There just is a curse of the groups every year.
Don't love anyone. I don't love anyone.
I think I'm gonna go for Gifty.
Yeah,
and 5 a.m.
Gifty is so good.
She's so good. Soulful, cool.
Yeah, quirky.
And she tried to do that thing like when Fleur East brought it out, did a song that no one had heard
and
before,
it went top 30.
And then it went really,
it banged.
So
she's got it. All
I reckon
going
she's.
On.
I reckon she's in with a.
What about Matty?
He can sing.
Yeah, really.
But has he got a girlfriend really? Because I think he told a fib.
I don't know, man.
What do you mean,
know
Lizzie?
The X Factor, really? Do you?
what do you mean, Lizzie?
Well, he said he'd broken up, so everyone felt sorry for him. He was like, I'm heartbroken.
Oh,
and then suddenly he's still living with her, and they're together.
Oh,
mate.
I think it was our friend. Didn't know that.
Maybe they got back together quick.
Well,
maybe it was a break.
But you've got to do these things on X Factor, right?
Is that, they love a whole sob story.
Was that part of it for you guys? You had to do the whole sob story thing?
Nah, mate. You see,
well, our sob story. Our story was a sob story.
Oh, with the visa issues.
It was just destined to be a sob story, wasn't it?
Can you retell this story?
Let's retell it. Let me retell it as I was the culprit.
Okay, I'm going to go to sleep.
No, I was the culprit, mate. It was Kazim. So no, I mean, it wasn't really, it was
your
a thing where...
out of date.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. It was, I'm Nigerian, so obviously where them guys can just travel any really, I got to get a visa. Just didn't get published in time. It's processing time, and it was all about timing, so...
I know, that was
it.
Forever.
Yeah. Obviously, that year with Judges Hazard was in New York, so I could not go.
Wow.
Oh, but were you worried? Were you gutted?
Were you thinking? I was vexed. Real, like I was vexed. I put the group together, like so for them not for me not to be there. I was
and
vexed.
We left him.
Left man.
See you later.
See ya. But it happened again this year with the other contestant of the overs.
Yeah,
and they just dropped
good.
Her.
Oh, the Filipino.
Yeah.
Woman. Yeah.
They dropped her. So you weren't dropped.
So
they gave you time.
They gave me time. They brought me back.
Oh, talking of controversy, sorry, I'm going to be controversial. My favourite was. Who's calling me? Oh, Sterling's calling me.
Who's calling
Sterling. Should I put him on loudspeaker and send him live?
Put him live.
I'm getting a smack
when
he comes in here.
Wait. Let's
do
lateness.
I'm giving.
Okay, Sterling, so we're live. Say hello.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm outside.
Oh. He's outside.
We'll get someone to get you in.
Bring him in.
Don't leave him outside. It's cold.
That's so funny. Right, so I'm going to be controversial. So my favourite was The Brooks.
Oh, well.
My favourite, let me tell Snapchat. My favourite was The Brooks on X Factor, and I don't know where they've gone.
Well, I mean,
they are the
they're never coming back.
Guys, tell me where they've gone, please.
Well, they've been replaced by Fourth Diamond, so.
Well, yeah.
They're not coming back.
They
one was
back.
Rather naughty.
Mm. Yeah, a bit of an anger problem going on there,
a bit
apparently.
Of anger management.
Who would have known?
I would rather not comment on this subject.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to bring it up.
But can I just say, I did like them too. They were little Justin Biebers.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but it's
superstars in the making.
And that was the whole game.
They were cute.
One of them was an arsehole. So
yeah, but one of them is an arsehole.
He was though.
So it's not going to be involved. We
exactly.
You know who I feel sorry for? I feel sorry for the twin.
Oh yeah, the other twin.
That's who I feel sorry for.
I wonder if they're talking. He must be really let down.
Oh, they're twins. They have no choice.
They share a room.
If they're twins, they could probably feel each other's pain.
Like, oh,
so it's like,
oh yeah.
You're well upset with me, aren't you?
You're well upset.
Well, we've actually you've got a song coming out, haven't you?
Yeah, we do. We do.
And
we
we've got it here to play.
Shall we play it?
Yes.
And then we can bring in your third member.
Yeah. Your third member. Talk about it and all that. Coming in. He's a bit cold. He's been standing outside. Bless him. Let's play it.
So do you guys want to introduce the track?
Oh, you know what? It's mad, yeah. True say we should all three of us be here whilst we're doing
this. Oh, well. He's late.
Is he there? Can you see him? Is he visible?
I can't see
him. Bring him in afterwards.
Okay, cool. Ready, Joe?
Get yep. together.
It's your boys,
Rough Copy.
And these E's, we are the underrated kings of R&B of the UK. And this is our new single.
UK.
Watch the stars. Oh, don't you worry about the sunshine. Wherever I go, the sun is not too far. I'm falling for you, girl. There's a feeling, I can feel it deep inside. Oh, can I take you, girl? On a spaceship, we can travel through the night. Everybody loves UK.
You will have a great time.
And we're in UK. I'll take you all around UK. Everybody loves UK.
You will have a great time.
Honey, girl, you taste me just like candy. Whenever I'm around you, we have the greatest time. Don't you worry about the past, girl. Let's leave it all behind.
I'm falling for you, girl. There's a feeling, I can feel it deep inside. Oh, can I take you, girl? On a spaceship, we can travel through the night.
And we'll be UK. I'll take you all around UK. Everybody loves UK.
You will have a great time.
And we'll be UK. I'll take you all around UK. Everybody loves UK.
Take you anywhere.
And now the full band is here.
Are we here, all right?
Yeah. Oh, my God, this has gone crazy. How was Clapham?
How was Clapham? Right, so let me just explain to the viewers and the supporters and the fans. I'm sorry that I'm late. I didn't mean to be late. Basically, it was my manager, it was my team's fault. Yeah. see wrong information.
Oh, that's fire.
No. And when I pressed it, it took me somewhere else. Thank God I got a phone call from Joe. And Joe was like, "Where are you, bro?" I'm like, "I'm on the way to Clapham." Clapham? What's in Clapham? You lot. No, we are
not.
We're in Caledonian.
Starts with the C.
You know what I mean?
Oh, is that what it was? It was the C's and the L's.
I was like, what's going on? Do you know what I mean? But I made it.
Let's just say, you're here and that track sounds, I was going to swear, cool.
You can swear.
Swear, man. Controversial.
It was fucking amazing.
Yes.
No, it was phenomenal.
Thank you so much.
How did it come about? What's the deal?
How did it come about? Oh, my gosh. Well, it started in my room, in my bedroom. And where I like do
Excuse
recording.
And this is family show.
Where all good things day.
Listen, that's where all the great music is made. Yeah, so basically. Yeah, so it started in my bedroom because I do most of the writing, whatever, and I was just, and I got given the beat and I was like, oh, this is a vibe. Straight away, I thought of Joe. I was like, yeah, Joe. Let me think of Joe. Then, entwine Michael Jackson. Then I got Justin Timberlake, and then I got Estelle, and then I got all these kind of people, and I was like, yeah, man, this is cool. UK came about with my little microphone with a little sock on there because my windscreen, my thing that you put around it so it stops from spit is kind of like broken. So
right.
I put a sock and it gave
whatever
it that
works.
Special.
Whatever
yeah,
works.
And it gave whatever it that works. Special. Whatever it gave works. It that special tone, that niceness.
But wait, where's your inspiration from? Because it's very funky. I feel like you've got a bit of Stevie Wonder. There's a
yeah,
bit of,
like
everything.
I said, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake, Usher. Yeah. Joe, like, do you know what I mean? Because obviously it's just
happening.
Energy. Yeah, the track's just energy, and just great vibes. And it's a long time that we've actually been able to make a track like that and be able to sell it.
Oh, that is sensational. For me, I love it.
That was a shot fired.
I love it. But now we ask the boys, how was your X Factor experience? Were you happy you did it? Was it something you're glad? Was it good for the group?
Yeah, we've answered your time.
Yeah,
we've
did
already
you
answered.
Out?
Yeah, I think did it was. No, it was an amazing experience. No, it was an amazing experience. There's some people that say you get a bad thing when you're on them shows, whatnot. But at the end of the day, every year it makes us money. Do you know what I mean? It gives us the platform to put ourselves out again, and also it gave us the platform to be seen in front of millions of people across the world. Do you know what I mean? And we're able to travel the world and perform here, perform there, and still, and also as well, we've done a really great thing on X Factor when it came to the fashion personality. Like,
I love
we
the
set
fashion.
The trend.
Who actually chose those outfits? We talked about the gold. That stayed with me.
We all chose our own outfits,
they were
really.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you choose them yourself?
Because the stylists at the time, they agreed with us. So it was a case where we was like,
them?
We want this, and then they would source the items of clothing, really. Yeah.
It was a lot of the stuff was bought in. We bought some of the stuff in.
Fancy what, your
dress?
Own stuff?
Yeah.
Fancy dress outfit.
Do you know what it is? It was
Halloween week.
It was all about standing out for us because, you know what I mean? We was, from when we did our auditions,
yeah.
Like that was our own clothes, and everyone was like, "Oh, have you seen them new boys are wearing skirts and dresses?" And we was like,
"But you're quite adorable. You're very likable. I think that's the thing. Was that the nice vibe? You got on with everyone there.
Yeah, man, we brought the energy, and that's
not everyone.
Man, you keep your mouth quiet, son.
No one. Who didn't like you?
No, we got no. It is. We got
us.
It with everyone,
they
man.
All
we
had
Mrs. O.
Haters will be haters.
She loved us.
She adored you.
Yeah, man, she. What
she
did she call us?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. What did she call kangaroos, things? You know, she everything's hands.
No, she was lovely. I think one thing about that show as well, like, yeah, it's a competition. You're against each other. But at the same time, there has to be a unity, a way of playing and helping each other and teamwork, basically. And we all got on. We genuinely all got on. Throughout, it's like, if you look at the archive of videos and all that, we're all there together just playing, messing about. Like, it's great experience.
I have to say, though.
I got some lost files.
Oh, but
I got a lot of videos.
Listen,
and audio recordings.
Oh. You've all been lost. He was lost in Clapham.
Oh, mate.
Well, forgive you. But you had a great, we said you were against Sam Bailey, who won it. But you had a real good.
We had a good run.
You had a good run and good people on.
Mm.
But when no one knows what it's like when you're on that stage and you're live. What is that like?
We're live on Facebook.
Are we Facebook
live?
What is that
like
when it's the live shows?
Oh no, I'm not gonna lie. When we watch it back, we're cringing corner. Oh, like because obviously at the time when you're on the show, you're nervous. You're thinking about 101 things, what camera to
look at, where to step, don't step out of line. And plus, it was it was the first year that they told us to use in-ears on stage. So that was a whole different experience because you're singing with your earphones in.
Yeah.
So you can't hear no interaction from the audience. It just feels like you're just... It just feels very weird.
Was it odd?
Like, you feel like you're not connected to the audience.
Mm. First time.
Did you not like it?
Really. Like, because if you look at some of the shows, there's sometimes we have, like, I'm, like, singing and I'm taking it out, putting it back in. He's over there.
In, out, shaking.
Mama's over there. Shaking like, it spinning all out. His neck.
Yeah. And that's that's why I say it's literally a boot camp because, like he said, we've never before used in-ears.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
had a week to get used to them and have to sing live with them.
And how did you all get together in the first place? How did you become a group? Is this a long story?
No, Kazim ordered pizza. And then it was me that was on another line.
You were the delivery?
Yeah, I was the delivery guy.
Wow, like, I'm really hungry. I need a pepperoni.
And
right
then,
now.
Do you know what I mean? Vid to him. But then on the way, Joe tried to steal the pizza out of the bike.
In Clapham.
When I stopped at the traffic light.
You are joking.
Swear down. That's why we call him Quick Legs. Because he
tried to nick
quick.
The pizza. Was it? I think it was a nice date.
No,
I'm sorry, what the fuck is this story?
Yeah. Is this for real?
Come again.
Tell him the truth.
No, I believe anything.
I'll run with this story, bro.
I believe anything, please.
Come on, guys, tell him the truth.
No.
Nick's pizza.
Yeah. He needs pizzas. He's got quick feet. Yeah. No, it was nine years ago now. There was a talent show that I was dancing at. And I bumped into Sterling. I troubled him in one of his rooms. I ran up in his room and I said, "Yo, what? I like your voice." But yeah, no, he was singing the jam, having a little jamming session. I picked him out of the whole of that room because he just had his unique tone. Introduced, basically said, "You want to be in a group?" He's like, "Well, not really." Not really, but okay, well, just give me a call, innit? I was like, okay, great. Couple weeks later, I was at a show with the current management at the time. They had a girl group and Joe Rudd is on stage. Literally ran on stage.
If you can see me now, he's doing everything. Like,
evoking.
Jason Derulo / Chris Brown.
It's
crazy. So he came on the stage with so much energy and I just loved the fact that somebody made me turn around because we was leaving.
Yeah.
And he came on and I was like, "No, we need to stay. Who's that? Pick him." And yeah, that's how the group was formed, man. Just share
gels.
Energy. Yeah.
Well,
I love that
it
took
story.
Us a while to gel.
I prefer the
peace
story.
All right.
So what's
I used to wear bright colours and look like them, man.
So what's happening now? You've got a track. What's going on now?
Yeah, so we've got the single out. I just want to say a big thank you to the team, Dysfunctional Management, and a very big thank you to Divu Records. All the people we've worked with, they have been on top of the game and said what they've said they're gonna do, and I've done it.
It's a rare thing.
Yeah. So at the moment, yeah, we've got the single out right now with like 7 remixes, which is like killing it. There's gonna be more remixes added on, hopefully, and then we're gonna be bringing out another single next year. January, so we're just going to keep the momentum
going.
Fantastic. And then
hopefully
by time next year we're going to be, do you know what I mean, booked for the festivals and hopefully tours, if not in the UK, the whole of Europe. Do you know what I mean, we're great entertainers.
Awesome.
We love to
you are
do
fantastic
what we do.
Entertainers. I think that's the whole thing, you've got the whole package because you're not just good vocalists but you entertain and dance and look good. You're a bit late. No,
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm sorry. And can I ask you, did you hook up with Simon Cowell at all? Did he at all give you any advice? Or?
No, them lot met him. They did meet him.
The first time we all met him was on our big screen when he told us we got through
to the live tours. Yeah.
But then there was one time that we went back the next year after where we were supporting a girl group in there called Ivy Rocks. Big them up. And me and Joe was there. And like, we don't plan to do these things. We just want to go there and support. But knowing Rough Copy, we always get dragged into doing this and doing that. And then we ended up, then we ended up watching the show and then ended up meeting Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell came down and we was like, "Hi, Simon." Simon was like, "Oh, it's a shame that we couldn't get to work together."
You know what that means.
And I was just thinking, "Oh, Simon, don't say that to us, love."
It's a shit
person. But it's all worked out in the end. Do you know what I mean?
It's all worked out, man. It's all worked out. It's all worked out.
I hope you did say like that. But that is, yeah, but you boys have done good.
Thank you.
Oh, we're surviving.
So good. Yeah. We love you. We love you here at FUBAR. And when the next track comes, will you come into the studio?
Yeah, yes. But before the next track comes, you make sure you pre-order this one so we can even be seen.
I want to play it again. It sounds good. Yeah, we'll play it again.
We'll play it next week.
Do you know what
will
be even better? It's like, since X Factor's on, you should have us on like every week on Monday and we can discuss about
reviews.
The
Well, we're only on
I'm
Thursday on
this. Reviews. Out. Who is your favourite on this year's? Have you been watching? Who's your favourite and who don't you like?
Well, I'm upset because my little brother's not on there.
Jeez.
I've already said it, but go on.
What?
I've said it already.
Oh, I thought I was supposed to say. I got
no, go
scared
on,
then.
Just say it.
The books.
Oh, yeah, no, no. He's got a discrepancy against that. Only because,
well, no,
do you know what
I
it is?
One of the Brooks. I call him, he's not so good.
Stop it. And then I must say Matt, like his vote, he's like, Matt, what's his name? Matt
Weary.
Matt, see it there?
Matty.
He is Matt. Voice is amazing.
I mean, mm-hmm. He was a waiter. Look, it could change your life. Mm-hmm.
Was that a real story as well, though?
Cause yeah,
you never know.
You never know. A few little naughty.
And obviously, 5 a.m., do you know what I mean? They, like, they're not us, but they just remind me of us.
That was
it's
now you know what it is. No, let me give you some history. Let me give you some history check on 5 a.m.
Let me just explain myself before
I'm gonna
try to get a little sound clip and say,
they're absolutely amazing. Like, obviously, we have a history with one of them anyway, Jordan.
What happened?
Because he was in Code 4
and very confusing.
But they are energetic and they're always smiley, and that is what a lot of people love us for.
But they're not like you boys.
No, of course not. They do their own thing. And they do it well.
Like, but they're not gonna win.
Well, we've really appreciated you coming into the studio, guys. It's been excellent having you here.
We absolutely do.
And we will be playing the track next week.
Are you kicking us out already?
Dashing man out.
We've got a 2-hour show. We've got three more guests to come in.
Darling, would you give
us? Can't just be in with them.
You don't want to leave. Can you give us a little track, little song, sing to me before you go? Nice. Come on, boys.
I'll just do the chorus on my own.
On your own. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
UK, innit? I'll just do the thing there.
Come on, darling. I'm not waiting.
Baby, have you ever been to London? Had a picnic on Hyde Park and watched the stars? Don't you worry about the sunshine wherever I go. The sun is not too far. Hey. I'm falling for you, girl.
Hey.
Here's a feeling, I can feel it deep inside. Oh, can I take you, girl, on a spaceship? We can travel through the night. So, have you ever been UK? I'll take you all around UK. Everybody loves UK. And have you ever been UK? I'll take you all around UK. Everybody loves UK. I love UK. I love the tea. I love the toast.
I love the tea.
I love
the shawl.
Bacon sandwiches. I love my fish and chips, my mushy peas, chips and gravy.
I'm FUBAR Radio.
Hey! FUBAR!
Thank you, boys. Right. That was amazing.
Thank you very much, guys. And we'll definitely get you in when the next single drops.
We love this one, though, and everyone's going to get it.
Pre-order, stream
really
it on Spotify.
It.
Let's
love
go.
It. Let's
Thank
go
you
there.
Very much, guys.
It's incredible.
For everyone.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And follow me on Twitter. I'll follow you. Follow
me. We just followed you back and retweeted. Lizzie.
Okay.
Job done.
Thanks, boys.
Thank you, boys.
We love you.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Jim, so let's get to the good part and past all the nonsense. So from the start to the rain day, when the pressure's coming down like lightning, it's like they want me to be perfect. One.
Studio. And he seems being a biscuit as well, aren't you, Sam Callahan?
I am, but I finished mine.
Sam, you don't look like you ever eat biscuits with that body of yours.
I try not to.
We got the fittest guys ever in the Boomer studio.
I know, and we've just been eating food.
Sorry.
Disappointing. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah,
Sam,
really good.
Incredible.
Thank you.
Incredible shame that all the boys are looking
thank
good today.
Much.
It's because the sun's out.
Yeah, it's true.
Sun's out.
So, Sam, well, what has life been like? Because, I mean, can we go to the very beginning?
This is what we did with Charlie. We'll
we
take
need
it right
to go
back
to the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Sam, how did X Factor actually come about in the beginning?
Oh, my God, it goes way further back than that.
Right,
basically, so I've always been into performing of kind of different kinds. That started when I was rubbish at school, rubbish at academic stuff. My parents took me to Stagecoach on a Saturday.
Took my boys out.
Yeah. Mm. It's really good.
What Stagecoach?
It's a drama and sort of theatre. They do
like group.
Yeah, group
right,
classes.
Okay.
But it kind of was just to give me a little bit of confidence, you know, which it really did. I found that I loved performing. Then I ended up going to stage school because I was bullied at normal school.
Oh. What stage school do you go to?
I went to Sylvia Young.
Oh, yeah, same as my son.
There you go.
I've heard of Sylvia Young. Okay.
Yeah, Sylvia Young, very good.
Yes, so it was fantastic. But it was really cool. And then I think I got to about 13, 14, and I started writing my own music and I started playing the guitar and things like that. Realised I wanted to do commercial music. So when I came out of school, I got into a band that was managed by Jerry Halliwell and Simon Fuller. Which I did for like 2-3 years and just kind of realised that it wasn't going anywhere. There was a lot of like, I don't know, there was a lot of false promises. And
was Jerry full of, I mean, was she hands on? Was she there helping?
His face says no. I think he's giving it away by the look on his face.
I've been told that I can be honest on
you
this
show. You can be honest.
You can
say, you can swear, you can do
whatever
you want.
To be honest, I think she like the biggest gig we did was to her daughter, Bluebell, at a birthday party and like a few family friends.
Oh, God.
I mean, Mel C was there, which was quite cool.
Oh, yeah. So you got to meet two-fifths of the Spice Girls.
But I think it was like Jerry, Mel C and Bluebell.
She wouldn't be there now, though. She's not doing the Spice Girls, would
she? Yeah, Mel C's not, no.
So that didn't
end very well.
So it didn't end well, so I left and I was the one that was like,
get me some work, you bitch.
No, yeah, so I was like, right, this isn't for me, I need to go and do my own thing. And then I started building up like a fan base on social media. You know, the power of social media is amazing. So I built up about 20,000 fans on my social media just by doing like free gigs and that. I've gone up and down the country in my like banged out old clapper.
Bless you. How hard was that? Because you want to earn money, but you've got to keep going.
Did
mum and dad support
through.
You?
Yeah, I've got the most supportive parents ever, but they're also not like... I mean, they're not rich.
Yeah.
So.
So you've got to earn some money.
So I've still got to sort myself out.
Go, Sam, go and get a normal job, please.
No, do you know what? Like, I've always kind of had that drilled into me, which I'm very lucky because of that. But I must have gone through in the next year before X Factor. There was a year between leaving Jerry's band and then doing X Factor, and I must have gone through about 20 jobs. I was a pizza boy at one point. I worked at Nando's. I worked at a go-kart track. I did loads of
It's all those
things.
Kind of jobs you do when you're looking for real another job.
Oh, 100%. It's just
I love go-karting. Are you good at it? I've got a big
event. We should go for a race.
Yeah,
oh,
please.
Come
no,
on now, guys.
I have a go-karting event. I need someone that can actually do go-karting.
Right,
you're in.
Well, Sam's in.
100%.
Woo! Like, I've got my man.
A go-karting event.
You better not just be fronting. This has got to be legit.
It's quite good. It's good.
Right, so hold on. You're getting Charlie King on Strictly. You're getting Sam in this go-karting event, right?
Sam's got the short straw there. Yeah, but no, and go-karting's great. Fine.
Yeah.
Right, hold on. We're not talking about go-karting now, are we? So, yeah, so you were...
We'll talk about that in a minute.
You were gigging. You were going around the country. You had loads of social media followers.
And then, to be honest, my thing was always, you know what, music's my first port of call, and that... If I have a gig come up or something that to do with music come up, then I'm not going to be at work. And I pretty much just said that. And that's why I went through so many jobs.
With the Sam's not in again.
Yeah. Sacked. But I was fine with that because I knew what I wanted. And then, unfortunately, I just kind of ran out of money to do what I wanted. Because the sad thing about music and the industry I'm in is that I think there's so much talent out there, but what people don't realise is that it costs to pursue it, and it costs to really get into it. And there's so many people who I think have so much talent who don't do as well as someone who really may not have so much talent.
But they've got the backing and sponsorship.
Yeah, but exactly. They've got the support. I think it's
a very tough industry. I think music more than anything. It really is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, when I say that, people think I'm just moaning, but it's nice to hear someone else say.
No, I do know.
But that's where the X Factor came in then, right?
So I mean, it kind of, the idea came about a few times before. I was like, no, I don't want to do it.
Why didn't you want to do it? Why?
Because I felt that everything, I was making great progress with like my fan base and my music. I was writing music, recording music, and the fans were loving it and things like that. And although my fan base then was tiny compared to what it is now, they were still very supportive and very kind of fanatic, and I loved that, and I thought it was very special. And I didn't want that to be tainted by, oh, you've been handed it on a plate because you're on X Factor, which I still get, unfortunately. But yeah. I think you kind of, if you go into something like X Factor, you've got to suck it up and realise that, you know, it is what it is. It's you know, partly it's just the game. It's all, you know, they're trying to get ratings, things like that.
But a great opportunity.
Exactly.
As well.
Exposure-wise, yeah.
Which is why I took it.
You did very well, obviously.
Thanks.
Who was on the panel when you were?
You were the Gary Barlow, weren't you? In the
there was no Simon.
There was no Simon that year.
No, we didn't have Simon. We had Gary instead, unfortunately.
And what happened with Gary? He wasn't your biggest.
He wasn't my biggest fan, to be honest. Like, I'm not really sure what his view is on me. Like legit, because. On one hand, like on the show, he was mean as mean can be. Like he was really harsh. And then like backstage, sometimes he was really nice. And then like at one point, I remember having a little jam with him to what was the song I sang last? I can't even remember. I've tried to wipe that from my memory. Faith. So we were having a little jam on the guitar, and he was singing along. But then. It would all change again. I was a bit confused about him. But, I mean, everybody else, like, I mean, Sharon was, I think, probably my favourite.
Yeah.
And then there's Nicole, just for other reasons.
She's a hot woman.
She is.
She's incredible.
And was Louis there? Who was the judge that loved you, who looked after you?
Looked after me. Louis looked after me.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing? No, what I was going to say is, to be honest,
you sound like a pop star. You don't.
Do you know what? He did that once. He went for that, God. And I was just like, he said it.
He said it. I like Lulu.
Sound like a pop star. You look like a pop star. You are a pop star. I was like,
that means you've gone next week, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's it. You're out.
He does the dolphin clap, when you know. But you did do very well. You hooked up with one of the contestants.
That happened.
I remember that. Because I remember I was there backstage. I went and I saw you. I thought, what a lovely, he was so sweet. And then I saw her hovering about. I was like, I know this is something's happening.
But it happens, right? You get a load of young people together in a competition.
Because it's quite tough, isn't
it? You
go
what?
You grow close, don't you, to people?
Yeah, well, I think...
You only have each other in those situations.
In a situation like that, you're either going to love someone or hate someone. So to be honest, at the time I loved everyone there. Like everyone became like what I called my X Factor family, which sounds a little bit weird for Tamira, but but do you know what I mean? Like everyone was really close and got on great at the time.
So you left. What happened immediately after that?
Then
you panic. Yeah, you have a breakdown.
You did very well. Can I add?
Thank you very much. That's lovely.
You did.
I mean, like, what do you mean?
You're
on the show?
So once you were booted out of the show, what happened after that? Like,
you have a treadmill of just gigs that everybody does after the X Factor.
Yeah, you have to do GAY.
Yeah, you did. Just start with GAY. Yeah, and you do all of those. And that was great. I got my first bottle thrown at me in Swindon, but that's all right. They missed. I was like, I was up on like a really high stage.
You had a bottle thrown at you.
Yeah, it landed next to me, and I just laughed at it. I was like, oh, and you missed. I was like, have another go. And then the bouncers just jumped on this guy. I was like, ooh. But yes, it was a whole kind of life experience from there on. I did that. I was on the front cover at Gay Times twice.
I remember
their best-selling issue, I must just say.
Ooh, Sam!
Which I thought was really cool.
Google that picture as you speak.
Don't pretend you haven't got it in your bedroom.
Well, of course, it's framed. Don't say anything. But yeah, so you're very successful, and it went very well. I mean, so you don't regret doing it?
No, definitely not. Like, I mean, after that, we did the tour, which was like a 42-day arena tour.
I came to the tour.
Did you? Where did you come to?
It was at Wembley. It was the first night, and I was with Gail Porter. There was a big box kind of for celebrities.
Amazing.
But everyone got very drunk.
I've never been to an X Factor.
And they said no more drink. That was it, because everyone was getting out.
So you can't even remember who you saw.
And they got my son to get a little, he was only little, to get a pick and open this safe of drink, which he did.
On the tour?
Yeah.
What a legend.
He did.
Oh my God. I mean, celebrities at those kind of events are the worst, because they're not even watching who's on the
stage and unlocked them for us.
We were so naughty.
We were just sitting there looking at them.
Yeah, it was fun. No, but we made extra noise when you came on because we were all in good spirits. We were like, yay!
Very good spirit. Sam Bailey won your year, right?
Sam Bailey won, yeah, who's an absolute diamond.
Yeah, she's a lovely lady, isn't she?
Yeah, she's great. I went to her.
We all love her.
She had a single launch recently.
She did, yes. Yeah, yeah.
That was really, really cool. It was good to catch up because I haven't seen her for ages.
Mm-hmm.
But she's very down to earth and normal. But then she split from Simon, and she was quite vocal on that, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. She was afterwards.
To be honest, like, I think a lot of people have I have to be careful what I say because of this reason. But are scared of what certain powers that be can do, and I don't think that's a. That's something not to be scared of, because there are things that go around that you hear about people and companies and stuff that just completely screw people over. So, like, I think people get scared about what to say, like, when things go wrong. But I think it's quite cool. Like, the Sam's just like, well, no, that's a bit out of order.
She said it straight, didn't she? She really said, I'm not happy.
And I remember the next year because it was... the change of judges and all that kind of stuff. She was saying that Simon basically doesn't want someone of her age to win the competition again and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of proved true, because they didn't let anyone in the next year that was as old as her go through. Like, so
fair enough.
But that, you know, it's like you do when you go on X Factor, you are playing a game and you are involved in a big platform.
It gives you a great platform and opportunity in that way as well. Mm. So
definitely.
You're both you're dancing a bit with the devil, but you're getting a great. Chance that you wouldn't ordinarily care.
It's true, yeah.
The tour for me was like a bit of a double-edged sword, because it's all been in the press, so we don't need to talk about it too much, but there was a big incident on the tour, which was unfortunate, because I felt that everybody was like I say, really close and like family. And then it all, after that, everyone started to sort of disperse, and it's sad now, because I speak to everyone on like every now and then, and I'll be like, oh, who are you still talking to? And they're like, I don't really talk to anyone from the, which is a shame.
Because who was on the tour with you? It was a great tour. I have to say that was a great show.
So it was Nicholas.
It was still the best thing I've ever done in my life. The tour.
Aww.
Like I can recall that feeling and that memory of standing there with 20,000 people in front of you singing a song. And having everybody sing back to you and cheering at you and taking photos and flashing lights. And that is literally like that for me is like the best feeling in the world.
Yeah, I bet.
It's incredible.
It must get quite addictive as well, though. Do you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
Do you find it's like you're still chasing that kind of feeling?
There is a reason that I can 100% relate to that people, I mean, like James Arthur went to rehab at one point, and other people from the show have done. And it's because it's an amazing opportunity and experience that you just don't get. Yeah. People don't get that. People don't experience that in life. Like
massive adrenaline
the tiniest percentage do. Mm. And it's just if it goes well for you and you get that opportunity, then you get to experience it in like a nanosecond.
Mm.
And to then go from that, even though you're then performing loads and performing at gigs and stuff, like you're not doing the O2 Arena and Wembley every night to 20,000 people. We did like that for 42 days.
That must have been
42 days.
That is incredible. And for that to then suddenly stop, you must hit a real low.
It's nuts. Yeah.
Is it
the thing is on one hand, like when you think about it, you do, but on the other hand, you don't really have time to think about it. So like, if you do think about it, and if you're like, oh, like, that's when's that going to come around again? That's a difficult thing. Like, that's what I'm always working for. That's what I work for every single day. Every time I get up early in the morning, go to bed late at night, doing my music, doing something to do with my career, because that's what I've tasted and that's what I want. And I think that after the show, you're still busy and stuff, so you don't really think about it too much, but everybody has their quieter moments, you know what I mean?
Mm. So unbelievable. I mean, to get that reaction, you were so popular. I remember when I came to the show, everyone went mad. You came on stage.
Thank you.
I did.
You did.
All right, Lizzie, honestly, you were on heat today.
Was it your bra that landed on my microphone?
Oh, could have been.
Ah, see.
Would have knocked you out.
The new Tom Jones
landed on my head like a hat.
New pair of earphones.
But things are obviously going pretty well because you've got a single out.
Yes, things are going amazing.
So tell us all what's happening now, because it's all very exciting.
And it's all very different. I love it. I love it. That's the name of the song. So basically, I had an opportunity where someone said, we produce house music, dance music, club music. We really love your voice, and that we'd like to record it and do like a feature, which was with Soul Shaker, who a lot of people know.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, really big in the
very
house
big
industry. And
big hits. I mean, that's mega.
So we started writing, and then we decided this was going to be like a Sam Callahan featuring Soul Shaker mix, and I wanted to put this single out. And the more I was writing it, the more I was kind of getting into it, and I started listening to that sort of stuff. I can tell you now, I have fallen in love with this music. And there's always been that thing of, like, I think one of my problems when I came out of X Factor was that I loved performing and I loved singing and doing music, but I didn't really know what music. I didn't have that artistry that this is my direction. And now I have, which is fantastic because I eat, sleep and breathe it. So this song came around and we wrote this, and all of a sudden it was being distributed in to loads and loads of different DJs, loads of parties with, like, one of them in Miami had about 30,000 people at it, and they all started like playing the song afterwards.
Wow. Awesome.
So yeah, like we had Dasko remix the song, we had Mob Culture remix the song, DM, all these amazing like huge DJs, and I mean this is the Soul Shaker edit that did the best. It went number 5 in the iTunes chart.
Wow,
amazing.
Which is great. So
let's give it a listen then.
Can
and then
we play it?
Yeah, let's
please
give it a listen, and then we're going to give you our feedback afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic.
All right, Gary.
The more I try, the less I feel myself feeding. Where am I now? Will I find my way when it's all changing? I don't know, but that's alright, 'cause we ain't meant to know what's coming. We both know that it's getting late. But I love it when you and I love it how you or somewhere I've been.
when you. And I love it how you.
I'm into it, it's catchy.
Immediately.
Yeah, really.
Thank
good.
You.
I loved it.
I'm getting like chilled Ibiza vibes. I'm getting like sunset.
Why
happening.
Are we not in Ibiza?
Yeah,
now,
I know.
Man. We could be broadcasting from Ibiza.
We're on Cali Road.
That is a hit. That is incredible.
Yeah, really.
Thank
good.
Thank you so much.
You're really good.
Thank
I
you.
I want it to play on my way home. I'm getting it. I'm going
to find
it.
Right,
I'm getting the Wi-Fi. That was so cool. Honestly.
So do you think that's the kind of genre of stuff you're going to do now? Because that's not what I think people would expect from you. If they'd followed your journey.
So many people, I think, like, after seeing me on X Factor, because, I mean, we had, our year had about 12 million people every Saturday night watching, which is nuts.
It was like one of the peak years, wasn't it?
But then everyone now is like, oh, my God, this is not what we were expecting, which it wasn't what I was expecting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so,
But, Sam, but that is so cool. I mean, Justin Bieber can do that. That is amazing.
Hell yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah, really
but
good.
No, seriously, we got to play this. I'm going to really...
We'll keep it for next week's show.
I mean,
as well.
So...
Yeah, A-list it.
Yeah.
So, music's your biggest love, but is there another love in your life? Are we allowed to ask? I'm getting these tweets.
Are we talking about women, or are we talking about like other things?
We're talking about women because I'm getting loads of girls tweeting in, going, "He is fit. He's hot. What the hell?" Because you had a little public love life with, you know, I can't remember her name from X Factor.
Tamira.
Yeah, no, she was very pretty actually.
She was very pretty. She's a lovely girl.
Still friends.
Yeah, still friends. Yeah, she's like, she texts me every now and then, and we talk a bit.
We talk a bit.
Yeah, but nothing like, not like it was. But yeah, no. To be honest, I'm just enjoying myself.
Mm. Yeah.
The thing is,
enjoying
right,
the music.
I'll be honest. I had a girlfriend not too long ago, and I lose focus slightly. Not a lot. Like other people might not realise, but for me, I do. And I definitely realise. And I think. I mean, you'll understand this. Like, what I'm trying to achieve is such a big goal that you have to just. I have to be on it every day for every hour. Like, you know, and every now and then you get a break, but you have to keep going.
You got to keep going.
And I don't want my mind to wander. So maybe I mean, I think the
you're
important
still young.
Thing.
I mean, how old are you, Sam?
I'm 22.
Yeah.
But
gosh,
I think what's
he's so young.
Don't you think though, Lizzie? Like.
I feel I've known you forever. You look like your brother.
Don't you think though it's important? Like I was talking to my sister about this, and you have to if when you meet someone and it's the right person, that kind of thing won't matter because they'll drive you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You won't lose focus, and you'll be you know you'll be
when you meet the right person, you know.
Yeah.
Because they make you want to keep going and do what you do. They support you, but
I don't know yet.
You don't want to drag your. You're only young. You're 22. Oh.
Don't want to drag your caboose down with someone that's
no,
not worth your time.
Baby. Now, what about the States? Though, have you thoughts about going to
LA
and
I nearly went to Philadelphia within like the last month to do a really big house event, which I got invited to. But the priority right now is the next song. And the campaign that we're putting together and all this stuff.
And you're working on that now, are you?
Yeah, and I was writing and recording that track. And to be honest, this first one was almost a bit of a punt for me.
I think punt, that is incredible. But I think, I don't know everything on music, but that, I think, could do really well in the States.
Yeah, well, it's gone number one in the Track It Down chart, which is a DJ chart in the States. It went number one in the King of Spins chart, which is another like house chart in the States. It went number five in the Music Week commercial pop chart here, so it's like it's done really good,
very well.
Which and is that allows you to do the next one.
I kind of went. It was funny because I've never really been into dance music, but someone was like, you know, do this song. Yeah, we did it, and it just sort of went out. And I didn't really promo it because.
Did you do video for it?
Yeah, we did a video. It's online. It's on YouTube and stuff. But the DJs kind of promo it for you, and I'm used to, like, if you're going to put a song out, you're doing stuff every day to really promote it and stuff. And then all of a sudden it went like number one in this chart and number one in that chart and number five in this chart, and you know, and I was just like,
you probably should do something with
it. Yeah, I was like, apparently I'm quite good at dance music.
That is incredible.
But that's good. That's a good way of finding out, you know. And it's working out
this
well.
This is
for
your
you.
Genre. This is.
Yeah, I can see it.
I can see this.
Thank you very much. But that's why like with this one, I'm like, well, if that happened with, you know, with not too much promo, I mean, I'm kind of setting the bar high here, but I think that if we give it a real good go, like, I think my fan base right now is more active as well right now than it was when I released that. I think that.
Well, they know you can do it. They know you're doing it.
My profile's higher and everything. Yeah, I'm more into it, more into the dance music. So I think like this next one should hopefully do even better.
Well, we're very excited to see what comes.
That is fantastic. I'm saying now, this guy.
He's going to be.
I
want to. Stop back at the table.
I'm going to be in management. I want to take him. And
Jesus.
Honestly, you're better than Bieber. I'm saying
all right,
this now.
All right, you too.
Sam's better than Bieber. I'm saying it here now. I'm Fuba.
Well,
Sam's
I'm
the new Bieber.
You are.
Ooh.
I'm going to write that on
that's
Twitter.
That's a big, tall order.
It is.
It's a nice
than
thing
Bieber.
To say.
No pressure or nothing. But,
and you're a nicer person.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you. That's lovely. Though.
No,
that's
but Sam, really thank nice. You so much for coming in the studio.
Yeah, Sam,
today.
thank you, man. And please, next on the next track, we want you in here.
Yeah.
100%.
We'll get you in again.
100%.
And we'll be playing that next week, I think, if we can get
can
that
can we please
organized.
Play it again before
we
the
can't
show
play
ends.
It again on the show today, Lizzie, no.
I actually got goosebumps.
I've got another mix that you can play later if you want.
next week's show. We can't play the same track twice, Lizzie.
It's a different mix, I'm just saying.
It's a different mix.
Just saying.
Tweet if
we'll
you want it. All right. Sam,
I'm
thank
the big
you.
Bad boy.
Yeah. Love you, Sam, as always.
No worries. Thank you so much
I
for having
like
me.
I feel like you're my little protege. I mean, I've known you forever. When he was little, protege.
All right, okay. Well, protege. Thanks, Sam. Thanks right. very much.
No worries.
Sam,
I love you.
Love
thank you.
You
very much, guys.
Love, Sam.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
And here we have the man himself, Ricky Norwood.
How you doing, man?
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a real pleasure. How have you been?
I've been good. I mean, it's taken me a little while to get back to life, back to reality.
Does it really, though?
It
like...
does. I mean, it was crazy for me. Like, I remember the first night that everybody, once we left and we done, like, the bots and it was our after party and stuff like that, all I wanted to do was go home. And
they didn't let you.
Yeah, well, they were like, look, you got to go to the hotel this press in the morning. And I was like, listen, I don't care what we got in the morning. You can give me a car at 5 in the morning if you but I'm going home. And I went home and I sat on my sofa, and at that point I just had a little bit of a mind melt. It was crazy, you know. 1 minute ago I was trapped in a house where I couldn't get out. Now I'm at home and
it's just back to normal.
Yeah, and you, you guys saw what was happening in there, but you didn't see everything that was so it was just there was a lot going on, and it took me a few days to kind of just get back to okay. Back to normal, you know? And
but now you are.
Yes, I've seen my friends, I've seen my family, and I've visited my local pub, which, you know,
you're just
everything
feeling
is
like zenned out. Yeah. You're like totally back to normal.
Totally back in.
Because that house was pretty nuts. I mean, like, even on Big Brother standards, that was intense. Like, and Bear playing like that role or whatever he was playing, like. Was it as weird as it seemed on the outside?
It was weirder for me in there. It was just stuff that I wasn't used to. You know, a great stat that I said as well in my interview that Grant came up with was that you guys only get to see 6-7% out of 100% mm-hmm. of that day. You don't even get 10% of that day.
Yeah.
So when you don't get to see the prods and the pokes and the little bits, that the wind-ups that have happened before,
yeah.
and then you just kind of get to see the explosion. You just kind of get to see the actual event. And it's just crazy. You know, the energy in there was nasty at times. The tension was always really, really high. And one of the funny... I haven't seen too much. I haven't watched it back.
Okay.
But I've seen a couple of clips here and there on Twitter. And one of the clips that has actually made me laugh was like the balloon, when everybody was wearing the balloons. Because that day itself, like, there was so much tension. There was so much, like... angst at that point. Like, a bear had kind of wound up every single person that I cared about in there, and I was just like, what's going on? And he popped Katie's balloon and she just went mad, and I was just like, that is it. Like, I started boiling. I was like, what is going on here? Like, you better not touch my balloon. And it's only a balloon, like, seriously. Like, but
it's
was crazy.
Also much hyped up. It's a TV show in the day, so I guess it's all really hyped up. You are stuck there. There's like, you're not getting out of it. So yeah, I can see how that would happen.
It's living under a magnifying glass. Everything is intensified. Every little bit of information that you get is intensified. You analyse 100 times more than you would normally.
And you don't trust anything, I guess they say either. So it's like,
you know, you can't trust anything. It was just, it was crazy, kind of just being trapped in that kind of nastiness, and that kind of mugged me down. But what took me out of that was the beautiful people that I got to spend some time with in there. You know, I got to meet some really good people and make some great friends from
there. Well, we had James Whale come on the show last week, and he was actually saying that you were his favourite person in there.
I got on with James,
probably, like, the most normal of the whole.
What, I mean, you know, like, I'd never, myself and himself, I know, guaranteed, I'd never done any type of reality TV before. And, you know, I was just trying to be me, trying to react to the situation that I was in. I wasn't in there kind of thinking, oh, I need to make a TV show. I was just trying to be real in a reality show.
Yeah.
And, you know, the majority of the times that I've got the conversations that I enjoyed was with J-Mo. Like, we got to speak about society. We got to speak about politics. You know, sometimes he would come with his view and it'd be kind of, you know, let's say just a little bit backdated, mm-hmm. and I'd come with the response from today's kind of world, and we'd kind of meet in the middle and we'd have an understanding about each other's opinions, and that was great. That's what I was there for, to kind of invest in people, you know. You know, Sammy was fantastic. I really got on with Sammy, but the three that really kind of got me through was, like, you know, Frankie, Aubrey and Renee,
the Americans.
Like, yeah, like, they were just, because they kind of saw it, you know, as weird as it was to me, it was to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, just straight away, you kind of had this combined sense of reality or what is going on. You had this shared mentality at the time. So, you know, it forced us to come together, and those three are beautiful, all for different reasons, you know, but them three are just beautiful people.
They've got their own nut sides to them.
Oh, yeah, but, like, beautiful, like, the whole way through, you know, like, Renee, she's just, you know, for good or for bad, if she's a friend of yours, she'll tell you whether you're doing good mm-hmm. or whether you're doing bad. You know, like, some people will let you have food in your teeth, yeah?
And wouldn't say anything.
And wouldn't say a thing. But your friend would be like, bro, like, you need to... you need to sort that out real quick, bro, you know? And that's what she's like. And, you know, she's straight as an arrow. When she flares up, when she goes, she goes. But we had some fantastic conversations. And, you know...
Do you think you mentioned the conversations you had with James. Do you think that part of that... I've kind of felt watching it that... although, obviously, you have very good background coming from EastEnders and that.
Yeah.
You were kind of the least celeb-y. You know what I mean? You weren't that ego kind of driven.
Yeah.
And did you find that hard to deal with those kind of people who maybe have come from reality shows and that's all they've known? They're driven by that kind of...
Yeah, I just couldn't believe what people were doing to kind of make TV mm-hmm. and or, you know, to kind of make sure that the cameras were on them at certain times, you know? So I'm not one to kind of fight over something that is not really that important, or if it's desperate, if you desperately want something, mm-hmm. then I'll be normally the one that stands back, you know? You know,
why is that?
I don't know. It's just the kind of the need of it. The way I described it in there, I don't know whether it ever came out, but, you know, if there's a slice of bread and there's five of us, we all know that it has to be sliced five ways. Now, we all know that. But if two people run over and desperately want it, and they rip it and they shove half in their mouth and they're like, yeah, can I still have my half? And, you know, that kind of that kind of desperate nature, that type of greed, that type of nastiness, I'm just like, well, you know what, you guys have it because you need it. Yeah. And I kind of do that, you know. I've always kind of been like that. I started in dance. I never claimed that I should be front and centre. But if you put me front and centre, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with Eastie's. When I was in Eastie's, you know, I started my first year, I had like 30-second scenes, maybe a minute. Maybe I'd come in at the end of a scene. And, you know, and one of the greatest things in my life was at the end of that year, I got the NTA for Best Newcomer. And I was like, after having a year of kind of just bitterness, I still kind of said something that responded to people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've never been one to kind of been like, yeah, you know, it's like, I will show you that I deserve it.
You're not like a peacock showing off your feathers.
I'm like, but recognize that I have feathers at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, look at my feathers, but, you know, you got to see them and see that they're nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
and appreciate what I'm trying to give to you.
So you say that you're not that kind of person, but obviously living in a situation where you are with those kind of people, that must have been tough. What was Bear really like?
It was crazy. The first couple of weeks in there, it was just absurd. It was nutty. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on.
Had you watched it before?
Yeah, of course. Of course, I've seen it before. And of course, you kind of look at it, and sometimes you kind of get crazy people in there, or, you know, people that tend to stir the pot. But I've never kind of been in that environment. I've always kind of felt that I've spoken in a way which I try and give understanding to anybody and everybody, and if I meet somebody like that, then by the way I speak and by the way I am, hopefully I can help and kind of find a different level with that person.
Yeah.
And it kind of turned out that by the end, that kind of last week sort of thing, you know, the 2 days before I was up for first nomination, first eviction, first time I was up, like the 2 days before that, like we crossed a bridge and we found a bridge of understanding. You know, we're never going to be best friends, but we found a bridge of understanding where we was kind of like, okay. And all the kind of defences, all the kind of the little silly things that he was doing, he couldn't really do it. He was moping about a bit during the day. This is when his ex came in and confronted him that day.
Yeah, that must have been some...
I was on the floor. Like, it was like I was watching it at home.
Honestly,
like,
watching all of you watch him and them was like...
I was like, no, they didn't just do this. No, they did they just do that? Did they just bring... Is that... No, because Lewis was behind me going, oh, that's Lily. And I was like, who's what?
Yeah.
I thought... And then I was like... She goes, yeah, Bear. And I was like, whoa. I just had my hands in my... You know, I fell to the floor. I was like, whoa. I mean, like, he'd done some nasty things, mm-hmm. you know, that up until that time and, you know, the whole way through.
Yeah.
But, like, to confront somebody like that with... it was a lot, you know. It was a lot. And I just kind of... The tension in there, again, just...
Another day of tension.
Of course. Every time it settled, it was like us or Big Brother that would kind of rip the carpet from underneath us and kind of send it all up in the air again. It was crazy, but through that we kind of found some type of bridge of understanding, and, you know, and then little bit by little bit, sometimes we'd have a drink, you know, without it kind of people kind of nicking it or hiding it or shoving their pockets full with four cans and going, can I have a glass of wine because I ain't got a drink, you know. So sometimes I've got to have a drink with him and kind of just chill out and talk about football, talk about boxing, you know, talk about films that had inspired us, you know,
and
during the time.
That's what we didn't see on the TV.
Well,
of
you know.
Course.
Well, that's why I'm here, to share it with you.
Yeah, exactly. What do you make of all the fixed stuff about that it was fixed for him to win?
I don't know. I mean, it's the viewers are out there. They kind of, you know, they're kind of the best judges of the edit and the after shows and everything that they saw. Telling you the truth, I haven't watched it back.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen like maybe minute clips here and there on Twitter, so I haven't really seen that much. But you know, he was airtime. You know, Bear was airtime, and he demanded airtime, and he demanded attention. He's an attention seeker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he's bored, it's everybody else's kind of problem to, you know, entertain him and kind
it's
of
like
come on guys, come on guys.
It's
like, come on guys, like, let's have a party. And you're like, bro, everybody's ready to sleep. You're like, nah, come on, we can save it. Come on, you know, like the night we done, you know, we was gonna do Slick Rick's on that Thursday. This is the night B-Bots came in live.
Oh yeah.
But we had like a barbecue. We had a couple of drinks before, and it was a long night. And it was crazy. We got to see some of our friends and family there. So by the time that was done, everyone's like, no, we're ready to go sleep. And he's like, no, come, we can rescue. Come, hot tub putt. And I'm like, bro, it's dead.
Let it lie.
Let it go, man. Let it go. You know, so it was nuts in there. But like I say, like we found a way to kind of communicate. I found a way to kind of, you know, make sure he was cool. And to be fair, like he never ever really attacked me directly.
No, he didn't.
You know, he never ever came for me. He came for people that was around me, which I didn't like. There was antics that I didn't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I didn't agree with. But I mean, yes, he put me up for eviction, but that was going to be standard procedure. He didn't like me, I didn't like him. He was from, you know, I was north, he was south, you know. He was on that side of the tracks, I was on that side of the tracks. Like, that's how it was.
Yeah,
you know. And we just kind of believed and stood for different things at that point. Yeah. So nominations are one thing, but really and truly, he didn't ever really come for me. I didn't really give him anything to come for me with at the same time.
Didn't he call you a fence sitter or something, or like?
Yeah, but that's fine. He can say what he wants to say. That's fine. I mean, I know my word, and I know how I speak, and I know how I think, and I know how I walk, and it, you know, the kind of it was an irrelevant comment to me. It didn't even touch me. I just kind of like, okay.
Good right. for you, mate.
Well, I mean, you know, he's a person that you will force you to be on the fence.
Yeah,
you know, like. It will force you to be like, I don't like you. And then it'll be like, why don't you like me? I just asked you if you want tea. And I just made you beans on toast.
It just makes, it's just amping it up.
And it's just like, well, you just offended me. You asked me, you know, Sam, for instance, like, there was one day, like, he would kind of ask her really nicely for a cigarette. And then a little bit later, he'd get on a case about, like, losing a task or, you know, and Sam's competitive. She just, any competition, she's just ready to do the best that she can at any one point.
Uh-huh.
But he knew that, and he knew that was a kind of sensitive trigger for her, especially being in the house underneath the magnifying glass. And he'd just play on it, and it would just wind her up. And many times I was just like, Sammy, leave it. It's okay. It's all right.
But he would push it to such a point that you, even the calmest of people would be wound up, you know, like... I honestly don't know how you did it. It was a similar thing like a couple of years ago when they had Katie Hopkins and Perez.
Right.
And Perez pushed everyone's buttons and kept doing it until people explode. Does make very good television, though.
Well, this is the other thing as well. It's like when you kind of look back at some of the clips, like I've seen a clip of Bear in the diary room when he's kicking off and he's ready to pull and then the security guard comes in and how quickly he's kind of listen, mate, listen, I just wanted to sit down, I just wanted to, you know, and
I wanted to know someone was behind the door. Yeah, of course you did.
It's funny but you know, being in there, it's crazy. You know, I mean, one of my reasons for putting up Heavy D one week, it wasn't anything to do with food. Everyone else was talking about food, and you know, but at that point, I was like, I'm not fighting for food. But the one thing that did get me was in the morning, he'd wake up and make these pterodactyl, Tyrannosaurus Rex, dinosaur noises. And it's like, you got to remember as well, it's like on the first night, he broke the first three slats of his bed. Oh, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
He put his knee in there and it broke. So every time that he would turn over, like the whole bed would be like, it'd be like an earthquake anyway. So he'd turn over and be like, and he'd be like, oh, what is going, where am I? Like, what am I doing here? Seriously. It was crazy. It was nuts.
What do you make of Marnie and Lewis?
Oh, they're sweet.
Do you
buy
them as a real couple?
Well, I mean, it's up to them. I speak about this. There's a thing called theatre love. Well, we call it theatre love anyway. And, you know, at the beginning, if you're in a theatre show, you get in at the beginning, you'd be like, I don't really like her. And, you know, she's lovely, she's great, she's hot, you know, but, you know, I'm not, yeah. And then, like, 6 weeks in, you're kind of like, you know, oh, well, you know, she does sing that song really, really well. And she does look nice. And then by the end of it, you think that you're in love and you kind of get with her sort of thing. And then the show finishes and you kind of remember why you didn't really click in the first place.
Yeah.
So there is the kind of risk of that happening. But them two are sweet. You know, they're very sweet together. Like, you know, they were very lovey-dovey in there. And there was a connection in there. So I'm not going to say it's a fake or a showmance or anything like that. You know, I saw Marnie look into that guy's eyes and, you know, fall asleep and, you know, swim in his eyes and everything, like dream, like, so there is definitely some type of connection there.
Okay.
I wish them luck, but you never know in this crazy world that we
certainly
live in.
Don't, especially they're both from reality, so you know. you don't have to say it.
I'm saying it, you said it.
Do you have any regrets?
No, you know what, now...
Even looking back, you've got some time to look back on it.
No, you know what, now kind of... now kind of coming out and being able to kind of reassess it and look back on it, it was a tough experience. It was an experience that I struggled with the whole way through, really up until the last week. But I've always kind of said that if you put yourself in a vulnerable position, take yourself out of everything that you call comfort, everything that you know, and put yourself in a vulnerable position and get through it and see yourself through it, you grow as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, at any one time, you know, some people don't want to bungee jump, for instance, but the moment that you kind of do it, especially that friend that really didn't want to do it, you know, they come out invigorated, they grow because they've been stretched by the bungee.
But no, spine is 3 inches longer.
Yeah, but you grow as a person, and I definitely felt that I grew, you know.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Even in that short space of time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I kind of happens with me is that if I kind of get into a mood or a zone, I will stay in it, you know, and I will kind of, especially if I don't like somebody, I'll just kind of shut it down and kind of go, all right, we're not good peoples, you do your thing, I'll do my yep. thing. But kind of being in there, I saw Frankie and Aubrey, like, always kind of show this turn of kindness, even though, especially Bear, like, Bear could have been horrific the day before, or even in the morning. He could have, again, spilt the coffee in that morning, you know? But they'd always kind of show some form of kindness. And I was just like, I took inspiration from that. I was like, firstly, I didn't know how you could do it. You know, and me and Renee at one point, Renee was like, I couldn't do that. And I was kind of like, normally I can't do that. But they showed me something new. And they showed me, you know, that you can... Even the people that you don't get along with, you can find a way, and you can find a way to communicate, and you can find a way to kind of be humane with yep. each other, you know. And I took inspiration from that, and I tried it, and little by little bit, it kind of worked, especially with Bear.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Do you find the comments that some comments said that people said you were boring, or yeah. that you weren't as gregarious as some of the other housemates? Does that upset you, or are you
nah,
just like...
Listen, I'll take boring if that's entertaining. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll take that all day. That's no problem with me, you know? In my natural life, when I'm allowed to shine brightly, everybody knows me as a fun guy, you know? I am a bit of a Yoda. I do come out with a line or two of wisdom here or there.
But was that part of the plan when you went in? You didn't... Because sometimes you didn't want to always get involved in stuff. Yeah. Was that kind of in your head to begin with? You kind of knew that. You knew what your limits were, what you were prepared to do and what you weren't.
Yeah, a bit. But it was like... It was crazy, isn't it? I mean... After, especially like the first week, you know, especially after like the teacup incident with Bear, and there was, you know, there was loads of things that was happening, and I can't even remember half the stuff that was happening now, but there was loads of things that was happening all at the same time. And kind of like after a while of a few warnings not having any effect, you know, and after that balloon incident, I went in there, you know, I lost my rag with Bear, I lost my rag in the diary room, you know, I had to kind of go and speak to the psychiatrist, Gareth, who's a beautiful guy, and just kind of breathe it out. And it was great talking to him because he was just straight. Yeah. You know, there's no mics, there's no nothing, you can just talk straight. And it was just a crazy time, you know. I forgot the question now because I went off. I spoke about Gareth. Tell me again.
No, we were saying that. Now I've forgotten. Hold on.
See? It's because, see, once so I get into a rant, it's because I went.
It's fine.
Yeah, we might have to edit it out.
What was I saying? That.
What was the question? I had a point.
I got it from when it was written down. People saying you were boring.
Boring.
And were you kind of.
Boring.
No, not were you boring. But were you like. Was that part of a game plan or
no? Like, you know, being boring wasn't part of the game plan. I remember, like I say, after kind of coming out from seeing the psychiatrist, I withdrew a lot. I didn't want to play the game. I felt that, you know, his dominant nastiness and kind of goading and winding up was all allowed to perpetuate in there, and I withdrew. Like, mm-hmm. And I was just like, all right, and cool. Well, I don't have to say anything. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to, you know what I mean? I just got to try and get through this. And that's what those kind of, that second week going into the third week-ish was about. It was just kind of about getting through.
Yeah,
so I
yeah.
did pull back. And I remember saying at one point, you know, I felt that I wasn't allowed to shine. Like, you know, my type of my type of entertainment, my type of joy, my type of things that make me laugh wasn't the things that it was being shown.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, of course.
Eggs being thrown and, you know, and craziness happening around the house.
Yeah.
And so I kind of felt, well, what's the point? And, you know, because that was a point where, that was the week as well, where I wanted to leave. So I withdrew. But even by doing that, I also, this is what I'm saying about the zone and being in a mood sometimes and kind of not being able to shake it, through Aubrey and through Frankie especially, kind of just showing me a different way, I kind of was able to grow through that.
Yeah,
and
I was
able to take something new and different from that I can now apply to today and to tomorrow, you know.
That's impressive for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it is.
But then I guess it's such an alien environment, it's nothing you'd ever done before.
But one day is like 3 days in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I know people say that, but it is.
That's why you need booze in there, right?
Yeah. But as well, it's like, I wish they kind of would serve the drink that you love, you know, that you love and that I love. Like, you know, I'm not really a beer or wine guy, but I drank beer and wine. I don't really drink G&T.
In those, like, paper-covered cans. Or
I was just like, you know, I like a brandy, you know. I'm not shy about it.
Too sophisticated. If they start getting spirits in there, people would be off their nut.
And I understood, and I was kind of like, all right, fine. I'm never going to get a brandy in here. It's fine. Let me just drink the beer. It's fine.
And what's your favourite moment?
There are a couple.
Leaving.
Yeah, well, leaving was great. I was looking at the amount of times I looked at that door. I was like, please, get me out. That's why I was so shocked to come in second. I was like...
That was a big moment, right?
I was like, what's going on?
Vote was really close as well, wasn't it?
Supposedly somebody told me it was like 1%.
Yeah, I'm sure it was less than 1%.
So, depending on when they close the lines, you never know. But, I mean... I was just looking at that door. I was going, get me out. but I thought it was never going to get me out. I was like, seriously, if you don't get me out, I'm going to start digging. All right. One of the best moments I had was with Frankie. We were sitting in a little smoking den, and everybody was talking about the madness that had happened during the same old drama.
It was like the eighth
time that we're speaking
Bears
about
kicked
it.
Off again.
Some rubbish that they're talking about. But he sat there and told me like 5-6 different stories about like his Broadway antics and what happened behind stage, and you know, the after parties that happened, the queues that he had to stand in, who he left to stand there, and like just a whole heap of crazy stories that just made me giggle and cry for the first time in there. And that's what I like, that's what I needed, that's what I wanted in there.
Yeah.
I wanted to just have a giggle, meet people, hear their stories, invest in them, understand them, you know, and then hopefully come out with a few mates, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah. Do you think you'll stay in touch with them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still in touch with Frankie and Aubrey and Renee, you know.
So if they're ever over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can sleep over around your house.
More than welcome. More than welcome. You know, Sammy as well. I've got to go pie and mash with Sammy. J-Mo, I've got to speak to J-Mo. We're going archery shooting at some point.
Nice.
So, there's a couple. I've still got to speak to a couple. Still got to get in touch with a couple.
Okay.
Still been crazy getting back.
Yeah.
And seeing the friends and family that I ain't seen for a month. So I have come away with a couple of people that I'm really kind of fond of. And I'm going to look forward to getting back in touch.
Awesome. What do you... This is a bit off the topic, but do you know Tamika from, like, I mean, like,
Tamika.
Tamika, sorry.
Tammy, my Tammy. Do I know my Tammy? Is that what you're asking?
I don't know
me?
How well you know
Are
her.
Are you joking? So I knew Tammy before she was in EastEnders. And you got to remember that I was in, well, I might, technically she might have been in it before me, but I was in it before her,
okay.
Like before she was in as a regular. So, like, I knew her before. Like, she used to do, obviously, she's stand-up comedy, Hackney Empire. I was street dancing at the time, so we used to be on the same show.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. Yeah, yeah. We used to be on the same show, left, right and centre. Many a time met over the... her and Jocelyn as well.
Okay.
Jocelyn's another lovely, crazy, funny lady. And so as soon as Tammy came in to Easties, I was like, Tammy! And she's like, Ricardo! And it was from then, you know, we had a little
That's
squeeze.
That's actually quite a good impression of her voice.
She's my partner in crime.
What do you think of her doing Strictly?
I'm loving it. She's going to be fantastic. She's going to win. She's ready for it.
I saw some of those moves in the opening episode. She's got the rhythm. She really has. And the personality to bring through it. I think her and Judge Rinder are going to be the two big surprises of this series.
Well, you know, also look out for Melvin as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's another one of my mates as well. He's going to bring some fun and flavour to the show. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to Strictly. I can't wait to get down there and support her, actually. I was supposed to go down on launch night, but I couldn't go that night.
Oh, you should never go to the launch show. You know how long it is?
Really?
6.5 hours of filming.
What?
And they only give you one break.
What? Okay.
Well, I went last year and I was like, never again.
Well, maybe I dodged that one then.
You dodged a bullet.
Maybe I dodged that one. But yes, I'll go down and support her in the show at some point and kind of.
Do you think she's in with a shot of winning?
Absolutely. Listen, her messing about, like her just pretending, you know, to just replicate what she's seen on Strictly the week before. Is fantastic, yeah? You know, is fantastic. So her being trained, having a good partner, they're going to have a lot of fun, they're going to have a lot of sass, there's going to be a lot of character within the dance, as well as the technique. She's been waiting for it, she's working hard. You know, she's already telling me about her feet and how her feet are mash up. She's like, Ricardo, my feet are mash up. And I just need to put
you're
my
like
feet
like 2 days in.
Yeah. She's like, no, you don't understand. You know, she's got a baby as well, you know. Yeah, yeah. You know, she's running around. And, you know, her little daughter is super fast. She's like Speedy Gonzalez.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once she's run, she's off. So Tammy's got to run after her as well. So there's a lot of... I understand what she's saying about the calf muscles being tired. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think she's got a great shot at winning. And I wish her well. I think she's going to take this season by storm.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I've got high hopes for her.
I'm telling you. I'm letting you know.
All right, I'll put a bet on.
Do it.
And there's obviously been a lot of EastEnders death comebacks, all these kind of things. You know, seen a lot of it recently. What do you think the chance is?
Fats coming back? You never know. Look, I've always stayed with EastEnders as a fan. You know, I was a fan growing up. You never, ever know with Easties. Have they spoken to me? No. You know,
That doesn't mean if
they want to speak to me, I'll speak to them. That doesn't mean that it will still happen at that same point. But I'm looking forward in life. I'm looking to, you know, there's lots of new projects on the horizon and I'm looking forward to those.
Oh, yeah. Anything you can talk about on that?
Yeah, obviously, you know how it goes. I can't say nothing until it's all signed and dotted and crossed and all that.
And even then,
I've got to wait 6 months. But yeah, I mean, there's loads of, you know, exciting stuff coming up, which I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
But you know, Easties is it's like a family. There's so many people that I love there. You know, it's really like a small little family community. Mm-hmm. And you know, I miss June to bits. I miss taking her some tea and cake, and you know, and having lunch with her and cracking up about how much she's amended the scene that we're about to go and do. but she's amended it for the better of me. Like, she's like, Ricky, I want you to say this line. I'm like, okay, Mrs. B. And then you chuck in this. And then when
did
I say this.
Did they do that?
Listen, did they? Are you
well, joking?
It's June's show, all right? When June's on set, it's
Queen
her
June.
Rules, okay? She runs the roost in there, okay? And more for you trying to upset that apple cart right there. You know, try and play with that power in there. There's been many a director that have just looked at me with like those, just please help me, Ricky, eyes. Like, just please, like, please nah. help me. And I'm like...
it's a last cause.
I roll with Ginny. Like, I've got her back. It's like, I'll try and help, but like, you know. So yeah. So
but lots of other things lined up instead.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Look, acting is it doesn't matter how good at, you know, at the job that you are, or how great the cast are, or how good of a time that you're having. You know, the acting job will always come to an end. You always have to move on. True. And try and mold yourself into another character, and you know, make that successful, and keep striving for the next thing. Keep striving for the next thing. You know, like I say, Easties and Fats is a great time, and I love it. And I'm never going to be kind of, you know, sorry to speak about it or say I'm not proud that I was in it for the amount of time that I was in it. I was only ever supposed to be in it for 3 months online. And I ended up
being there.
And I ended up being there just under 6 years. So I've done everything.
It's a good job for an act.
Listen, I've done everything that I needed to do there, and I'm super proud of it.
Yeah.
And the awards that I won while I was there, I'm super proud of. But, you know, it's all about moving forward. Let's see what comes next.
Definitely.
You know?
The future's exciting. I like that attitude, Ricky. I like it.
It's the best way.
Well, thanks for speaking to us today.
My pleasure.
And we'll be sure to keep an eye out to see what's going to come on next.
Good times, man.
Although we don't know where we're looking, so.
Don't worry, I'll let you know, man. I'll let you know. We'll keep it. We'll keep
appreciate
it.
That. Yeah. We appreciate that.
My all pleasure. Right. You take care.
Thanks, Ricky. I mean, it's only going to get stranger because we've got our next guest in the studio.
I know.
Already.
Oh, well,
stranger.
Gary Edwards.
ballroom
expert.
The ballroom giant.
The ballroom giant.
And I'm following
Very
Dave.
Very big man.
And
nice to have you in here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Gary, I love Gary.
So do I. We had a lovely little chat.
Oh, bless.
I do. Now, Gary, we've got to tell our listeners all about you, but you are all tipped at the minute to possibly be the new judge of Strictly.
Well, I think there's quite a few in the running.
There are a few in the running.
I've been in the press a little bit.
You have been in the press? A little
Bless
bit.
Them. Bless the British media.
A little bit. You've been in quite a lot.
Lizzie's jealous.
I am. Who's your PR? Oh, I know it.
Oh, you do.
I was just on the phone to him, actually. Great PR you have.
All good, I hope.
No,
yeah,
all good, all good. No, but I think you could be... for me, I'm going to say this. I think you would be... the best judge on that show.
Oh,
best
you.
Replacement for Len.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, there's been some names in the running, so explain a bit, like, how this has come to be that you...
Oh, it's such a long story.
we've got, you know, 2 or 3 minutes.
Well, there was Fred Flintstone. very long story made very short. I started very young when I danced, and basically I... loved ballroom and Latin American dancing.
Can I ask, was it hard for you? Because you are quite a striking,
oh,
tall chap. You are like Superman.
Ah, but this is something very few people know. This is a little bit of a...
Mm.
I was actually too short for my partners in the beginning.
Oh, interesting.
I was very short for my... When I reached 15 or 16, I suddenly grew very, very fast. sort of literally just massively fast. So I went through partners very, very quickly because I was too tall. So was I too tall? Being tall, I hate it on a lot of the shows now when they basically say that he finds it difficult because he's tall and tall guys can't dance. It's just a little bit unfashionable to be tall in dancing, but do you know what? I didn't have a problem.
No. Well, if you've got a tall partner. I mean.
Well, that's right. As long as the balance is right.
And you're currently stateside, is that correct?
Yes, I spend a lot of time in Miami. I do a little bit of, I judge almost every weekend, actually, professional events. And obviously, the reason, coming back to your question, when Len was going to leave Dancing with the Stars and concentrate on Strictly, they obviously needed a new Len. So I was in the running big time to replace Len over there. Len then changed his mind and decided to. So I was like bittersweet because I was like, no, my one opportunity to get on that Dancing with the Stars show. But luckily, the producers
Dancing with the Stars is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, Janine,
it's one of the biggest shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to Strictly, but it has got its differences. I mean, obviously, the biggest similarity is actually the fact that Len and Bruno judge that one as well as the one here.
Yeah.
And as most people know, I'm a great fan of Bruno's anyway. But over there, because Len stayed, they actually gave me, every time I go to the show, which is as often as I can, I judge, or basically I go on Dancing with the Stars All Access, which is very much...
Like the sideshow.
Yeah, it's the internet, but it's actually at the same time. We actually look down on the ballroom. So it's all part of the show, and it's the new direction Dancing with the Stars has been going, very high-tech, internet, Facebook Live, Twitter, etc. And again, I talked to social media a few years ago, Ballroom Giant, and that has also helped me because instead of blogging, if you like, I basically...
Gosh, you've got a massive following, by the way. You've got another follower because I've just followed you. It's Psychic Dave.
That's Psychic why Dave. You were on your phones.
That's what I was following.
I turned mine off.
So do you know the British panel? Do you know any of them?
Do you know what? Obviously, I've known Len. I mean, Len was basically the reason why I continued dancing because... I was born in Romford, Essex. I went to a school called Forest Lodge, and to say that I was bullied because I was dancing would be an understatement. Never actually beaten up as such, but verbal abuse all the time. I was going to give up. Then I went up to the local community centre to watch a Christmas show, and it was Len Goodman and Cherry Kingston.
Okay.
And he came on the microphone, and I was like, that is who I want to be.
Oh.
Which is quite ironic when you think they're
coming. And now it's going to be happening.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
But isn't that awful that you were bullied? Because I have a very close friend who's now a big producer at ITV, but he loves ballet. And he got teased and bullied, and it really affected him. And I just think, why is that? Because they think it is, like, not macho.
The funny thing is, in those days, it was even singing. People were bullied for singing. And I always used to think, but the Welsh, the Welsh, I mean, my name is Edwards. Mm. My family, I'm assuming at some point, were from Wales. But basically, in Wales, it's not. You know, you wouldn't take the mickey out of anyone for doing that. And dancing worldwide now is so huge. Thanks, obviously, Strictly gave it a new lease of life. But dancing in general, wherever you go in the world, there's always some form of dance. People love moving to music.
It's true.
You know, it's good for you. It's healthy. It makes you happy.
Makes you feel good.
Absolutely.
Now, being stateside, have you had any opportunity to watch the British one this year?
Do you know what? Yes. I've been here for a few weeks now.
Okay. So what do you make of this this crop? Ooh. We're getting towards the final.
This is one of... I mean, I haven't seen every Strictly Come Dancing, but I've seen quite a few of them. And to be honest, I think it's the closest ever. When I heard who was in it, I honestly, in the very beginning, I thought Louise Redknapp is going to walk this.
Yeah.
And you know what? She still could win, but I think she's got a lot of competition.
Win Danny.
Well, that's the...
When he took his shirt off, I think Ore is the one.
Do you know what? At the moment, I think this is the closest ever. Yeah. I think any of them. I think with Ed Balls, I mean, people have said so many bad things about him, but do you know what? Without the other three, the improvement he made,
definitely.
And I managed to watch him live in Blackpool, and I have to say, he improved so much.
Yeah. Because that's what the show is about, isn't it? Making people into dancers, rather than being a professional dancer
like Danny
anyway.
Mac.
Yeah, but it's almost like you want to give someone like Ed Balls a trophy for what he accomplished independently, because he had a lot of things against him. I mean, when I saw him as a politician a few years ago, I'd never have thought in a million years he would be like he was in Blackpool.
I booed him when he lost his... I was like, ooh, yeah. And then when he was on Strictly, I was kind of looking at him thinking, you're quite attractive, you know.
easy, tiger.
I said that, but I had had a few drinks in the green room. But no, he had something about him, his confidence, his humour.
I met him briefly, and I have to say, he was a wonderful guy. He really was a really cool, I would call a cool dude.
Probably yeah,
not
and
the
I
right
think
thing to say these days, but he was a really cool dude. Totally not what I expected from a politician.
And he got the ratings up. I think possibly if the judges could have saved him, they would have. I mean, I don't. Obviously,
well, who was the up again? Oh, Judge Rinder.
You have to go on dancing ability, though, don't you? So
again, though, it depends on that criteria. And I always say that's why with the judging panel here and in America, it always has to be a balanced panel. Mm-hmm. You have to have that balanced panel. And at the moment you have, and that's the deal with Len leaving, and that's the problem. Who do they put in there that is actually going to balance the panel?
Oh, I think I know someone that would be perfect.
Da 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 da! Gary Edwards. Do you know what? I'm with Bruno later. I'm going to have a little quick word.
Put in a good word.
No, but I have to say, you know Bruno. You know, obviously, Bruno very well anyway.
Yeah, well, I got to know him through Twitter. And again, people saying bad things about him on Twitter. And for me, I still believe this wholeheartedly. Hand on my heart. Obviously, radio, but I've got my hand on my heart now. For me, Bruno, in many ways, is the best qualified judge. Because although, yes, technically, Len is obviously, and I would be technically very, very qualified, if anything, overqualified. But what music do they dance to?
Mm.
The pop-type music, which I totally believe in. And that is basically Bruno's world. And that's why, again, when you've got Bruno there, Len there with Darcy and Craig, it is such a perfect balance of pro judges on there. That for me, I wouldn't want to be the BBC. Yes, it does.
Because you've got Craig there that is the bit of the moany one that was, you know, isn't ever really happy.
Yeah.
And Bruno's who's so
you put your thumb
energetic.
In the wrong place, he's not happy, is he?
You need the balance, correct. You do need that balance that makes it click.
And I do think it's a better balanced panel here. But again, the thing in common is you've got Bruno and Len, which are such that they work as a team.
Mm.
And that's what I really, really love. Mm. You've got those two together. And that, for me, probably more than the viewers, for example. I mean, for me, I would be watching the judges just as much as the couples.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas most people would say the judges are really irrelevant. For me, they're totally not. It's a part of the fact of, again, Strictly Come Dancing is an entertainment show based on a dance competition, in my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. How do you feel about the dancers? Because the dancers actually sometimes think, possibly, some of them, I won't say any names, but are bigger than the show. You know,
the
pro dancers. Yeah. Because, you know, obviously, they get, once the show is on, they get a huge amount of attention.
But again, they've got a good bunch at the moment, for sure. Same as Dancing with the Stars have also. But again, you've got to remember, they all come from the same world that I did. All that you want to do is be the world champion. So your drive is, I want to be a world champion. I want to win. So suddenly you go on to an entertainment show. You've got a bunch of people that want to win on an entertainment show. So it becomes a little bit about winning rather than actually making sure that the pro is 200%. Because with pro-am dancing, which is the same thing as Strictly, that I judge every year the world championship, it's basically a professional dancing with an amateur. Now, the professional's job is to make the amateur look as good as possible. They need to look 200%. And it's the same thing with Strictly, with the pros and the celebrities. The job of the pro is to make the celebrity look as good as possible.
Mm.
And it's not really about the dancer, is
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
But and that can be
that is the problem exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what you were.
Well, ego.
You
ego
don't
is
really
a tough
notice
thing.
Them. You look at the celebrity and go, "Wow!" But you know, it's.
Do you know who I think is a good example of that? Otie, who's with Danny. She really lets him.
You are correct.
Do you know what I mean? Like you can tell. So there's
totally
a lack
agree.
Of ego there. That's good.
Yeah, it's all about the partner.
Yeah,
which is what it
and
should
she's
be.
Up for letting
name
him.
Name me a dancer that's the opposite.
I can't answer that.
No, you can't. You can't, but I probably could. Who would be a good example? Do you know what? Actually, I can't think of anyone now.
Thank God.
I'm worried about offending anyone.
Yeah. No, I mean, they all have their own shows as well after and need to make the most of Strictly because it is the biggest watched show
and
on RTV.
It's also
apart from Bake Off.
Oh, there you go. But I would argue that. Anyway.
I don't know. I do like a pair of buns. But
so do.
I have to say, I prefer my dancing shoes to buns, to baps. Anyway, so it is the biggest show. I mean, it is actually taking over X Factor,
well,
isn't it?
All I would say is from my perspective, again, I lived in a foreign country called Brunei for many years. I came back to England briefly. I went over to America. I do come back to England enough times to see some of Strictly, but I didn't realise how much Strictly is a part of the British blood. It's almost a bloodline. I came back this time, partly because of some of the press, and I arrived at Heathrow Airport. I went to get my case, and this little old lady come running towards me, pointing, actually wagging her finger at me in a way that normally I don't like. And she was saying, you're the ballroom man off of the newspaper. And I was like, no, that's not me. But Strictly is so big that these people, and again, replacing Len, why it's going to be so difficult, everyone takes it personally. Everyone believes they are part of the show. And again, just goes to show what a great job the BBC have done over the last few years, because they've created such an amazing show, an amazing franchise worldwide now. Now we've got the one in Ireland starting.
Oh, I heard about that.
But not only that, you've also got the fact of using this modern music has really propelled dancing worldwide, because like I always did in my shows, I used to do a show to I'm Too Sexy for My Shirt. and obviously the very infamous, like Billie Jean, for example. But it's a case of I believe in all that. And that's where, again, where the Bruno connection comes in. So similar.
Yeah. Bruno.
Basically, with Bruno, because he comes from that pop world, the video, that's why I think he does such an awful job. And his contribution is so, for me, people love Bruno, yes. But really, technically, he's actually really, really good now as well.
Yeah, because you didn't know Bruno did all the banana. I'm with them tonight, Bananarama.
Bananarama, yeah.
I'm obsessed
with Bananarama. Oh, why do you invite me tonight to these? Can you record a message for me?
I'm going to be the third member.
Can you record
a message? Okay, I will. I promise. I'll record a message.
I believe it when I see it.
I will. I promise. Okay. But he did all the pop videos, and
I remember seeing him on videos of him on Top of the Pops and stuff back in the day.
That's right.
Stretching.
He was famous for his shorts, wasn't he?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Quite sexy.
He's got good legs.
Google.
But you yourself work with Michael Jackson.
Again, partly why I think I relate to Bruno so well. For me, in Brunei, the classic scenario, it made my life, really. I got to meet all these celebrities, all these pop stars, these athletes. But the one day that, again, I never knew who was going to come in the door to teach. It was all top secret. The door opened and there was Michael Jackson. And it was like everyone had scooped up all my innards and just, I was literally like flying inside. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to teach this man? What can I possibly teach him? But he was so...
But you did.
Oh, it was a dream. It really was a dream. Supposed to be there for 20 minutes, half an hour. He was there for an hour and a half.
Did he have the high-pitched voice when you were speaking to him?
Was he strange? Because everyone thinks he's very...
Was he strange?
He was an odd
Very quiet,
guy.
Very, very respectful.
Like myself.
Oh, exactly like yourself. I had no idea who you were down there when you walked in. I had no idea who
poor,
you were.
Poor God.
Bless.
Poor Gary won't say what happened when I walked in. Had a little moment.
Oh, yeah. The first time.
I'm going a bit, blush. So again, it was a case of he really did want to know why I was in Brunei teaching dancing, which again, even sometimes I had to ask myself that question.
Yeah.
But you know what? He was so respectful and so he was looking up to me. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at my God in a way, the legend that is Michael Jackson. I was thinking how fabulous he was, and he treated me like I was better than him in many ways. I showed him how to dance more than teaching him. He picked it up so fast. We danced shadow side by side, so he was copying me. Danced briefly with him. I think I said to you earlier, I went to the DJ booth and I was looking for the music. And again, thinking I'm not going to use something from the 70s or the 60s. Yeah, yeah. So I found Billie Jean. and I thought, you know what? I'd done a show to that. I know I can do cha-cha. So I put Billie Jean on. And of course, that blew his mind, the fact that we were dancing cha-cha to Billie Jean.
I'd love to see.
It's a private thing that you did and will stay with you for the rest of your life. Oh, you're very lucky.
Biggest achievement of my life, and certainly something that I don't think I can ever top it. I mean, people said to me, if you got the Strictly job, would that top Michael Jackson? Sorry, BBC. No.
It's such an iconic.
Michael Jackson is just Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And it is, again, he was very quiet, very respectful, and as far as I'm concerned, a superhuman being.
Yeah, as you said, you know, and he'd never took the money, just, you know.
No,
nope,
he
like
donated his fee to his charity. He didn't take the fee. I won't say what it was, but he donated his fee to charity. And he went there several times. He was a lovely, lovely man. Whatever anyone else knows or is up to them, I didn't see that.
Everyone I met who worked with him or knew him, like David Guest, just said he was the most incredibly generous
and
kind.
So humble.
Yeah, humble, quiet, but humble
guy. And he did mess with my cha-cha a little bit, as I'm going to be very careful how I say this.
How did he mess with your cha-cha?
Well, he said, I normally say it a little bit different because of my accent, but basically he said, let's make it funky. So we did make it funky, and I have to say, to this day, I still dance a little bit of that. So, as much as he can't do what I showed him, I still do remember, and I still use what he's gave to me. So
that's amazing.
Gosh,
well,
Gary, you are incredible.
Well, I'm hoping we're going to get to see much more of you.
For me, I'm saying it here now, Gary. I want you to be the next judge.
You've got an inward there, Lizzie.
I have. I will honestly.
So fingers crossed next year.
But you have the whole.
You've got the right aura.
Strong.
The right aura.
Oh, I've got an aura.
You've got a lovely aura. It's like if Dave liked it anyway, didn't he?
Oh, he's listening now.
He's listening. He knows we're talking about him. Lovely to see you, Gary. Yes. And it's the best of luck.
Thank you so much
for
coming
in.
And
you guys
it's been
great.
A real honour having you here at FUBA. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be seeing much more of you in 2017, hopefully.
Ooh. Yay! My new judge! It's Gary, everyone!
No, no, no. Who's taking you home, 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 home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, no, I don't wanna know. No, no, no. Who's taking you home, 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 home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, oh, I don't wanna know. Wasted. And the more I drink, the more I think about you. Oh, no, no, I can't. Baby, every place I go reminds me of you. So, the way I used to love you, no, I don't wanna know, no, no, no. Who's taking you home, 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 home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, oh, I don't wanna know. And every time I go out, yeah, I hear it from this one, hear it from that one, that you got someone new, yeah. I see we don't believe it, even in my head. Still in my bed, maybe I'm just a fool. No more hashtag booed up screenshots. No more trying to make me jealous on your birthday. You know just how I make you better on your birthday. Oh, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you let down for you, touch you, put you like this? Matter of fact, never mind, we gon' let the past be. Maybe he is right now, but your body still
I don't wanna know. No, 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 no. Who's taking it home? Oh, oh, oh. I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, no, I don't wanna know. No, no, no. Who's taking it home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, oh, I don't wanna know. No, 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 who's taking you home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, no, 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 who's taking you home? I'm loving you so, 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 so. The way I used to love you, oh, I don't wanna know.
Hey.
Radio presents
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
I'm in a bit of a crossroads with this one because neighbours upstairs, very, very loud sex, and I've also got a few other notes that I just found online from people that have gone through similar situations.
Okay.
Here's one that I found from someone who was in flats and their neighbours were having really, really loud sex, so they sent them a note drawing a dinosaur, and the note said, safe sex, Trex says...
The man said, safe sex, Trex.
Focus, Michael Payne! Focus! Focus on the job it is!
Every Friday,
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne,
from 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Call it love and devotion. Call it a mom's adoration.
Foundation,
a special bond of creation. Ha! For all the single moms out there going through frustration. Clean bandit, China ball, and Marie thing made them air.
She works a night by the water. She's gone astray, so far away from her father's daughter. She just wants her life for a baby. All on her own, no one will come. She's got to save him.
Daily struggle.
She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love.